Early spring, begettal of the new creature. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The book of Psalms opens with the word blessed. The Hebrew is plural and indicates multiple blessings to those who delight in the Lord and refuse to walk in the paths of sin. Jesus made a similar observation, saying, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Entering the straight or narrow gate can be difficult. The wide gate of sin has many allurements that appeal to the flesh. Because the rewards can be satisfying, many do not discern that they are short-lived and end in death. To understand the benefits of the narrow gate, one must recognize why self-sacrifice and heart devotion provide the richest blessings in this life and enable one to endure beyond. These are the considerations that every heart must contemplate when seeking the Lord and weighing the cost of consecration. In picturesque language, the psalmist continued describing some of the great rewards of discipleship. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. This beautiful imagery depicts a believer as a tree planted in a place of abundant nourishment. Strength and stability are developed from deep spiritual roots that grow in those who drink from God's word. Unlike any other path, this gate leads to eternal life. Any contrary lifestyle, though satisfying for a time, cannot endure or provide everlasting life. Counting the cost. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 31 and 33. In a time of self-evaluation, potential followers of Jesus should ask, "Can I forsake all that I have to follow him?" For some, it may be a difficult question to answer. For others, the reply comes more easily. In reality, the opportunity to serve the Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus is a privilege to be cherished. Rather than focusing on what is to be forsaken, consecration comes with the understanding that a life lived in God's service honors him and provides opportunities for lifting the world out of sin and death. There can be no greater purpose in life. Begotten to a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively, living, hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter likened a consecrated life to natural childbirth. After the seed is planted in a woman, it begins to mature and develop human qualities. Similarly, when the seed of truth is planted in the heart of a believer, a living hope takes root. It is a living hope because it comes from God and leads to eternal life in heaven. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. The Apostle Paul described the beginning of a spiritual life as a two-step process. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Romans chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 9. Faith begins the journey to sonship. When faith leads to consecration, the merit of Christ is then applied, providing justification in the eyes of God. Each believer is then considered a full son of God. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. To see him as he is beyond our understanding. We can only imagine the reality of the following words. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 and 54. This is the future for those who not only pass through the narrow gate, but also prosper in the narrow way and remain faithful to the end. Spiritual welfare. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul describes the battle every believer must face when desiring a relationship with God. We battle against false beliefs and human reasoning. We oppose anything that puts itself above or in the place of God. Mental discipline is required to bring every thought into obedience to Christ. From a strictly human standpoint, this seems an impossible task. But God knows that there is great wisdom in asking us to fight this warfare. The same wisdom was demonstrated in the Apostle Paul's life. When dealing with his poor eyesight, Paul sought relief from God. The Lord's answer conveyed an important and practical lesson. God said, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul immediately understood the wisdom in God's reply. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. The apostle realized his struggle with poor eyesight would make him more dependent on God. In describing spiritual armor, Paul encouraged other followers of Christ, saying, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Only through the struggles of life can heart reliance on the Lord strengthen our bonds with him. Every trial and challenging experience can have this long-term benefit. Quickened by the Spirit. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. To be quickened means to be energized in the service of God. Knowing his gracious plan should inspire us to self-sacrifice, knowing that we serve a great cause. It directs us to a lifestyle the world may not understand. It is the antithesis of selfishness and finds a way to bless others. This is godlike and prepares the body members of Christ for even greater service beyond the veil. A powerful inspiration comes from studying the life of Jesus and endeavoring to grasp the magnificent work for which we are being prepared. Jesus said, If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John chapter 12, verse 26. To honor God should be a goal for every consecrated heart. Such honor comes in many forms, ranging from the secret thoughts of the heart to the physical energy we expend. An amazing journey. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. John chapter 14, verse 12. During the Lord's earthly ministry, he healed the sick, raised the dead, and did many other miracles. And yet, these works will pale in comparison to what he will yet accomplish. He gave believers an insight into their future when he added, And greater works than these shall he do. Spiritual growth and personal sacrifice will equip each believer to share in the Lord's kingdom work with mankind. Teaching the meaning of right and wrong can only be done by those who themselves have come to love righteousness and hate iniquity. Leading a sinful world to God can only be accomplished by those who previously sought Him and consecrated themselves to serve Him. These overcome the evil enticements of the world, their selfish flesh, and the devil's temptation to sin. The successful walk of a Christian is beautifully portrayed in the tabernacle. The journey begins out in the camp and ends in the very presence of God. Many decisions were made along the way, but there is no higher calling or greater privilege ever offered than to share in the work of Christ. It is an amazing journey. Planting seeds. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. The greatest gift parents can share with their children is training them in godly principles. Speaking of the Lord in uplifting and comforting terms creates a source of strength that children can come to rely on as they grow. Youth is the springtime of their lives, and planting seeds early often brings forth wonderful spiritual growth. Although children will ultimately make their own choices and commitments, speaking of the Lord's goodness will help guide them in their decisions. Then, if they choose wisely, the benefits will multiply in character development and a better understanding of the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. Solomon shared his wise counsel with the young, saying, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. In other words, remembering the Lord early in life will provide strength in challenging experiences. Rather than finding no pleasure in them, a heart turned to the Lord can find meaning and purpose in each experience. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10.